I just wanted to start with some review. This will be about the body of Christ. And yesterday we had talked about the gospel of God, and we had talked about how water baptism fit in and where it fits in God's plan, his two-sided plan. And we'll continue a little bit about that, but let's water baptism basically low sound. Okay, let me try pumping it up a little. I don't know if that helped. Water baptism is a kingdom function, and it has to do with Israel's kingdom that Jesus will bring out of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. Water baptism does not have anything to do with the body of Christ. We're not Israel. Israel is not the body of Christ. Documentation, or for a better lack of a better word, we'll use that. Look at this verse. But we desire to hear. Paul had gathered the Jews in Rome to give them their final chance to come into the body of Christ if they would believe Paul's gospel, the gospel by which we're saved today, and instead of the gospel of the kingdom coming from heaven. And these Jews said to him, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. As far as this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. So there is no way that the body of Christ that Paul preached is part of Israel, or is Israel. They were, you know, those apostate Jews had nothing, they didn't want to have anything to do with Paul, the gospel of Christ, or the body of Christ that the gospel of Christ leads to. Keep your feet on the floor. Okay, thank you. I'll do the teaching here now, Nathan. I'm thankful that you're here listening, but I can't respond to those. You know, if you've got differences, we'll go through those. There's going to be a question time after this, and I'll be glad to address those then. So, water baptism has to do with those who were at that time being offered the earthly kingdom out of heaven. They were to repent and believe and be baptized. Changing their mind about God is what repentance is. Changing their mind about God and their apostasy away from God. They were to repent, to change their mind about their idol worship. You know, if you read anything in the Old Testament, you see the decline and further decline and much further decline. This king was much worse than the king before, and then all the kings of Israel, and the next one was worse yet. You know, they needed to repent and come back to God. They not only were not keeping, you know, one of the laws out of the 613, they kept, you know, if they kept all except one, they weren't doing good enough. They weren't coming near it. They were going away from God. They were going to Dagon. They were going to Molech. They were going to all these Rapham and all those other gods, Baal, any god they could find of the nations around them. They were to repent of that, change their mind about their idol worship, and they're going away from God, and to turn their attention and their allegiance, their faith, back to God. So water baptism is a washing. And it had to do with the coming kingdom, because it was because of that kingdom promise that God only made to Israel, that John the Baptist applied to Israel, applied the baptism or the washing to prepare them to be a kingdom of priests, as was prophesied in Exodus 19 verses 5 through 8. We could look at those if you want, but I'm going on. Exodus 19, 5 through 8 is where they were told, Israel was told, they would be a kingdom of priests. There's no such thing in the Bible as the priesthood of the believer. It's the priesthood of the coming kingdom of Israel that Christ will bring from heaven, kingdom out of heaven. But his kingdom was coming, the Messiah was there, announcing that it was at hand, so John the Baptist started baptizing, washing the people that believed to be part of that kingdom of priests. Priests said to be washed. So we find in Exodus 29, verses 1 and 4, that very authorization that he had, the scripture that tells that. It's a baptism, washing of a priest was needed. So John the Baptist came baptizing, preparing for the kingdom of priests in which Christ would be the king in that kingdom. But as we know, Israel rejected their king, blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Their kingdom was put aside. It was postponed, discontinued. Their gospel doesn't... You can't come to God through Israel's gospel anymore, as you could, according to Genesis 12:3, when they were rising. They're falling. They had fallen. Those promises were during Israel's rise, while they were believing. When they went away from them, from God, from their promises, from the covenants, you know, they didn't apply anymore until they come back. Israel said, "His blood be on us and on our children." And, well, they separated from God there. God called them, "Lo am I," not "my people and I will not be their God." So let's go on. Talk a little bit about Israel's kingdom still being preached in Acts 21. It was on the decline, but there were still, you know, if you count how many were inducted into the little flock, the Church of God in Jerusalem there in Acts 2 and 3, there was, what, 3,000 and 5,000, that's 8,000 men. Most men have a family, you know, so it would be probably, what, four times that? They four times eight, that's 32,000 out of a town of, you know, filled with Pentecost feast attendants from all over the world that had to come back to Jerusalem for the feast. Probably a million people. 32,000 isn't much, but it had declined, and they were diminishing according to Romans chapter 11, verse 12. They were diminishing in that phase between the time when they fell in Acts 7 and when they were cast away in Acts 28. So Israel's gospel, it continued to be preached through the beginning part of Acts there, without the offer of an immediate kingdom, though, because after Acts 7, it was Israel had fallen, and the kingdom was never offered again until in the future from now, when the Lord pours out on Israel a spirit of grace and of supplication. So as late as Acts 8, Philip was preaching things concerning the kingdom that would come. Just like in ancient times, they knew a kingdom would come, and they preached the coming kingdom. Philip was preaching that the kingdom will come, not that it was at hand, which it had been earlier in Acts, before Acts 7 when they fell. So it will come. It will. It's yet in the future. God's promises to Israel will be fulfilled. So it's to Israel. It wasn't offered to us. And it will in the future be offered again to Israel. There will be other Gentiles there that will join in with Israel in Israel's kingdom. But today, God is not offering that in His Word. Today we're being offered the saving message in the gospel of Christ. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God to save us. God's current offer to save us from His wrath is clearly laid out in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Read them. Receive them. Don't just believe that it's fact. Receive it for your condition, needing to be saved. It's sufficient to save you, to believe that Christ died for your sins, and that your sins are all died for. The penalty is already paid. There's no need for forgiveness now. Once you're forgiven, they're gone. Once he paid for your sins and you believe that applied to you, it did apply to you. If you've never received it, if you're continuing to reject it, it doesn't work for you. I mean, the offer is there, just like $1,000
in an envelope on the mantle,
if it stays there the rest of your life, you never pick it up, you never believe that it applies to you, it doesn't apply to you, it doesn't help you any.
So they still preached the name of Jesus, and they still baptized,
going through Acts there. Israel did. Now, there was the beginning of something new
that was not Israel,
the beginning of the body of Christ, when Paul was saved, Saul of Tarsus.
And that began to grow through Acts,
as Israel began to diminish through Acts.
But as far as Israel was concerned,
they were still announcing the future kingdom out of heaven.
And in Acts 3, we read Peter preaching that Israel's sins may be blotted out when Christ returns.
Well, what about between 33 A.D., that Acts 3 time, when Israel heard Peter preach that,
What about between then and the time when Christ returns to blot out their sins?
Are all Israelites condemned and bearing their own sin until then?
That's what remission is all about.
It puts off or abates the penalty of sin until a later time
when Christ returns to blot out Israel's sins.
So remission puts off the penalty of Israel's sins until a later time when there will be forgiveness.
However, remember that's all spoken to Israel.
It's about Israel's doctrine.
That's the major thrust of most of the Bible. Until you get to the last revelation of Christ, latest in time, chronologically, coming from heaven to Paul for us.
And that new revelation of what God had hidden was later for all people,
not just for Israel or any other nation.
That little section of the Bible there, Romans to Philemon, is what is to and for and about all people, not restricted anymore like the rest of the Bible, just to Israel.
So only Paul, in Paul's epistles,
Only there in those epistles do you find the gospel that Christ revealed, whereby at the time of your belief you have forgiveness.
Christ gives it to you then.
Israel has to wait until Christ returns, as we read. And if you want to read it again, it's Acts 3:19 to 20.
When Christ returns, they get their forgiveness.
And that's what was prophesied in Zechariah 13, when a fountain is opened up at the return of Christ.
So at that time, when you believe,
we're different than Israel.
That's what the point is.
We are saved when we believe.
At the time of your belief,
you are saved from then on.
And you're not only saved, you're sealed.
And many other things too. You know, saved, sealed, and seated.
It says, made us to sit together with him in heavenly places.
Ephesians 2:6.
Marvelous verses.
But they're true.
Christ dwells in you.
Great things to know.
When you believe,
you're not alone.
You're in Christ.
You become part of Christ's body.
That we all are talking about here and trying to learn about,
finding out the scriptures about.
That's all part of the secret that God hid until revealing it to Paul.
Secret is a mystery.
The mystery.
There were mysteries of the kingdom too.
That's different. That's of the kingdom.
This is mysteries about the body of Christ and the revealing of it by Jesus Christ.
Preaching Jesus Christ in his glorified state
and the doctrine that he gives to us from heaven.
The revelation of the mystery, preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery.
Throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts,
even as late as Acts 21, verse 20,
and we'll look at that in a minute,
Acts 21:20,
we find Israel's circumcision gospel being preached,
at least in a limited way, in a diminishing way.
Israel was diminishing.
At that time, they preached that believers in the gospel of the kingdom would be, in the future, saved to an everlasting life on earth.
Life,
in
the millennium.
That's a long time. That's 1,000 years. But beyond that, in the new heaven and the new earth. That's eternal. Everlasting life on the earth.
The church, though,
the body of Christ, it had started already before Acts 21, but this verse refers to different people. We're not being addressed in this verse, Acts 21:20. It refers to the remaining believers in Israel's gospel before Israel was blinded and cast away in Acts 28. Now, believing Israelites were not blinded and cast away. It's just that there were so few, and they were in the church of God, the little flock, and the rest of the Jews, Acts 11:7, the rest were blinded. And that was the ongoing, what was considered Israel, going on after the blinding in Acts 28. But there still was, that church of God, of Israelites, they were, they had gone through a change in Galatians 2:9. They pledged not to go and evangelize people into the church. They just ministered to their own. So as they died, that got smaller and smaller until the last one died, and that was the end of the church of God, the Jewish church, for that time. When they look on him coming in the clouds, and God pours out on them a spirit of grace and supplication, then they will believe, and they will be brought back together. And then you get the writings of Hebrews to Revelation. A lot of that in 1 John, that's what that is. It's how to test to see if someone is a believer or a fake trying to find you out and turn you into the authorities for not having taken the mark of the beast. But here in Acts 21, verse 20, if somebody could post that, please, we hear Paul talking to James about some of the other leaders of the Church of God in Jerusalem. Paul was telling them that Gentiles were being saved by the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ was the new gospel that Paul received from Christ. It was revealed to him. It wasn't, Christ didn't remind him of the gospel that Peter was preaching or something like that. It wasn't a reminder, it was a revelation. Paul didn't get saved until Acts 9. And Christ had already gone back to heaven in Acts 1, so when Paul received it from Christ, Christ was revealing it to Paul from heaven. And he only revealed it to Paul. We only find writings about it from Paul. We only know how to be saved in Paul's writings. And the body of Christ is only mentioned in Romans 3 Philemon that Paul wrote. So let's look at that verse. Acts 21:20, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, in other words, he was a brother Israelite, both descended from Jacob. Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Well, that was the circumcision. That was believing Israel. That was the church of God, which in Luke, Christ called the little flock. It began in Matthew 16 when Christ said, I will build my church, and he went ahead and did it. By Matthew 18, you see another reference to that church that he had started building. 18, verse 18, I think it is, somewhere in that area. Let me just get a sip here. In Acts 21, those Jews were still being taught the law. And even though they had pledged in Galatians 2:9 to stop evangelizing new believers into the little flock and to limit their ministry to the then current circumcision, those Jews were still being taught the law. The law will be applied and taught during Christ's earthly kingdom. Israel will be the teachers as a kingdom of priests. They will not need a teacher at that time.
The law will be written in their hearts.
That's in the coming kingdom, the millennium that comes after Christ returns, or at Christ's return, at the end of that 70th week that needs to start ticking when the body of Christ is caught up to heaven. The 70th week of Daniel's 70 weeks, 69 of which have already gone
happened, occurred.
Okay. The law will be written in their hearts, though. And at that time, a person could ask a Jew, what's the 112th law? Or what's the 573rd law?
And they would tell you
exactly. The law written in their heart. But Jews in Acts 21, when this was written, they were all zealous of the law. They lived about 60 A.D. That's about the time this was written. And there was about 15 years after Paul began preaching that anyone who hears his saving message can be saved by receiving God's grace and not keeping the law. It's not that they have to stop keeping the law. It's not by keeping the law. It's a different standard, a different reference point.
The law
is irrelevant after that to those people,
to us.
To Israel, too.
Israel's been cast away.
God is not their God.
They can come to God as individual Israelites.
By believing the gospel that is available today, the gospel that God revealed to Paul. They have to come as anybody else, not as a special person, a precious treasure
or
a holy nation. They don't come that way. If they do, they don't get to God.
Salvation today is by Christ having died on the cross for our sins and you believing that it accomplished your salvation, as God said.
So that means you're trusting your case to God on that basis. It's up to God to keep His word then.
What about His word?
Romans 4, verses 24 and 25. Believe on Him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And Ephesians 2, 8 and verse 9 also, but starting in Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace are you saved. Notice it doesn't say, for by grace will you be saved, as Israel's told. The Lord added to that Jewish church such as should be saved. Not the saved people. They weren't saved yet.
They should be saved.
They had to endure to the end to be saved. We don't. We are saved.
Their salvation
is not theirs yet. It's out in the future. And if they mess it up, they don't get it.
But we've already...
The Lord is not an Indian giver. Well, excuse me. That's not a good...
When the Lord gives it, it's yours.
He doesn't lie, put it that way. And Indians don't lie any more than anybody else. I apologize for that statement. But today we're not saved like those Jews will be. Before Israel's blinding and casting away, Jews had to be...
Sorry, something just crossed my mind.
But Jews had to believe in addition to keeping the law. In addition to being circumcised and offering sacrifices, coming three times a year to the temple for the feasts,
and even more things when Jesus was preaching the kingdom.
In addition to all that, they had to keep the law.
There was this whole list of things.
Today, we don't have that list. That has no bearing on us.
Today, or on Israel.
Today we access God's grace by our faith. And Romans 5 verse 2 is very clear on that.
God doesn't give us grace so that we can have faith, and by grace are you saved through faith.
Then you're saved once you have the faith after God graces you with it.
No, that's not it.
That's the opposite of what Romans 5:2 says.
We have access by faith.
We start with the faith.
That gives us the access into His grace.
The grace wherein we stand.
By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
So we are born with the ability to choose.
That's what self-preservation is all about.
You have the choice to dodge a bullet or whatever.
When you get hungry, you eat.
You choose to help yourself along.
We're born with the ability to choose.
We can choose to believe God's salvation message that came to us through Paul in the Bible.
Or we can choose not to believe it.
When you have believed, you are accessing God's grace. Romans 5:2 again. It's not backwards.
By whom also we have access.
By faith into this grace.
Wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
So it's not the opposite way around. We don't have to wait for God to shed His grace particularly on us or specifically on you individually
before you can have faith on Him to save you.
By Paul's gospel of Christ, crucified for our sins.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace.
It's faith that gives us access into God's grace.
We all have will to choose.
Look in Leviticus 1 verse 3.
If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd,
let him offer a male without blemish.
He shall offer it of his own voluntary will
at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord.
So there were free will offerings.
In Israel's history, in Israel's doctrine.
And he shall offer it of his own voluntary will.
Do people have voluntary will?
Well, God would be lying here if he did.
If we don't, if people don't, you know.
He shall offer it of his own voluntary will.
God says we do.
God says we start out with our own volition.
On our own.
It's our own will to choose.
Romans 5 verse 2 says we access God's grace
by our faith.
Why do some people go ahead and trust God?
And others seem to never get enough faith to trust God.
They keep questioning God's word.
As if God had some other way besides his word relating to us how he's going to save us or some other way of saving us.
Some people trust.
Some people find it very difficult.
But they have the choice.
You hear the word of God.
Romans 10:17
tells us that faith comes by hearing the word of God.
So then faith cometh by hearing.
And hearing comes by the word of God.
People that continue refusing to believe when they hear the word of God before the catching up of the body of Christ will be sent strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned.
Who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Believe it today.
Believe the truth.
And I'm done for today. Are there questions? Is Nathan still here with a question?
Time for questions or comments.
Clarifications.